CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness. Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. It is the second Friday of the month, so we have Tracy McBurney here today. Hi, Tracy.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Tracy, I love that intro. It cracks me up.
I know. You were making me laugh.
How am I ever going to live up to that? Let's just go home now.
Oh, she's so modest.
Oh, my
so
God.
So great. Tracy can be found on the web at TracyMcBurney.com. Tracy does not have an E, so it's T-R-A-C-Y. McBurney does, M-C-B-U-R-N-E-Y.com.
And I can be found there if we've got that all back and up and running.
Yay!
All current shows listed. Yeah, it's all good.
Yay! So we thought today we have some interesting discussions about what's been happening world, in Tracy's world. We're going to discuss guides and divine mind. Mm-hmm. So I know that the guides is an interesting topic because I know that I have gone through a few different times with guides and we brought a guardian angel the last time second last time anyway. It's an interesting discussion and topic because I think a lot of times we just either believe or assume that they're all working for the right side.
The right side. See, here's the difference between...
Okay, like, the light side.
It's all divine.
Well, that's true.
Okay, so I wanted to bring up this topic because it seems to be all over my office over the last little while. So I guess people are wanting to clean up their guides, so to speak. The first person to put that on my radar was a woman who has passed away. Her name was Lynn Grabhorn. She wrote a book. Now, I'm not going to get everybody rushing out to purchase the book. I found the book to be very challenging. Its title was, Oh God, What's Happening to Us? And I did not even finish the last one third of the book. It was, I consider myself to be quite open-minded and I couldn't go there. In other words, I could not even at that time start to buy into this idea or continue to buy into this idea of this battle, this battle between darkness and light. I could get the idea that we were battling with that issue within us, but I also could understand the idea that we didn't have to be in that place. And so as I kept reading into this book, I just went, you know what, this is not where I want to be. This is not where I am. But what she did is she put on my radar some of these really cool ideas. Like, she's the first person that literally got me thinking, what am I working with? Are all my guides operating from a place of love and light? That is a very cool thought. She really delivered that piece of information, and I have to credit her for that. So first off, let's say that some people, probably not anybody that's listening to this show, because you'd have to have a consciousness level that would have brought you to the show. But there are people that do not have a consciousness level that would be able to accept that anything called guide, something in this unseen world, even existed. Right. It's kind of like that law of attraction, right? It actually does exist, and you're either going to be working with it or not working with it. But it exists. Whether you believe in it or whether you don't is immaterial. Now, if you do believe in it, you can actually have it working much better for you than if you don't. Well, I think the same thing is here for guides, right? So they are here. Whether you believe that they are here or whether you believe that they are not here, it doesn't matter. They are here. And they are part of our consciousness. And Lynn Grabhorn put that on my radar, that not always are they operating from a place of love and light.
Or 100% love and light.
Right.
Yeah.
She also put on my radar this idea. Now, when I first read it, I thought, is that truth? Is that the whole truth? Is that nothing but the truth? She spoke in one of the chapters about the idea that each and every one of us here on this earth plane, as we choose to incarnate into human form, would have three guides operating with us at all times, because that was kind of some understood law of some sort for humanity. And that we would all have at least three guides in what she, I think, referred to at some point as our official guidance team, as part of our consciousness. And then, of course, she puts on the radar that not all of them might be of love and light. And, of course, because she's writing the book from the framework of the battle between darkness and light, it's oh so not good to have a guide, one or more, that's operating from darkness, and you've got to correct that right away, and oh my God, this is horrible, and let's just say the affirmation and move this out. And know that, you know, you've been saved now. And I really started to look at this and started to ask some questions. If I am creator of my life, and I've always been creator of my life, then why would I have signed on for this? Did I have knowledge of this? Did my soul have knowledge of this, that one or more of my guides was operating from a place, were operating, my mother would hear that, she would not be happy, that they were operating from a place of darkness. And I got some really interesting information back. So I don't understand all the reasons why we might have chosen to have a guide, one or more, operating as official guidance team for us operating in darkness. But one of the reasons that they gave to me was around soul and soul evolution. If you even take a moment to think about your soul, and some people don't, lots of people do, most people would talk about their soul, as I'm hearing it, as this cleaned up ball of light, and it's now going to descend. Their desire is that it's going to descend in the physical body and take up more of that physical body and push out that ego, that very bad ego, and get that ego gone and pulverize the ego, destroy the ego, get it down, down, down onto the ground. So the soul has a space to be. And what I started to hear from my guides was that the soul is not that cleaned up ball of light. That this soul has been around more times than a few, and that there are things that it has not reconciled from its journey, and it is still trying to figure out, that it's still trying to investigate and understand. And so there is darkness within our soul. And if we really wanted to have a life where we really got to a place where we could enlighten potentially one of those tumors or moles or dark craters in our soul, then we might choose to actually have a guide, one or more, operating from a place of darkness, so that we would better immerse ourselves in the beginning of our life with an energetic that would push that upon us, that would really almost bring us to our knees in being able to get us to realize the kinds of things, belief systems and operating systems that were operating in darkness within our soul. And also, it began to explain why a soul would choose, because it is always creator, why it would choose to incarnate into a family that was such a difficult, dark experience. Mm-hmm. Why it would choose a certain birth experience, for example, that was quite horrible or abusive or scary or terrorizing. Why it would choose to incarnate into a family where there was so much addiction or physical abuse or sexual abuse. Why these choices would have been made. And one of the reasons why a soul would make those choices is because it had already some unhealed issue within itself, that it was going to use this family dynamic and everything that it was navigating and experiencing to be able to help to resolve this. So that started to make sense to me. And I kind of went, okay, so the darkness is actually being helpful. The darkness is actually helping us to put us in a really dark place as quickly as possible so that we can bring balance of light into a situation, pretty much because we're in so much pain that we start asking for something different and really desiring from our heart something different. In other words, so much pain, so much suffering, so much dot, dot, dot of negativity that it's more than was programmed in the soul to deserve. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. And so that's some of the reason why I think we chose to do what we did. And when clients come into my office and I get this hit that it's really time, that one or more of their guards is operating, official guidance team is operating in that place of darkness, and it's time for that to be restructured. Then as we're restructuring it, we are restructuring it with a great deal of reverence, right? In other words, we are recognizing that that guide has worked diligently well to help this person to come to a place of recognition at soul level of a level of deservedness within itself. Not entitlement, but deservedness within itself to know a greater level of light, to know a greater level of love in these places that have been marred in darkness. And I just think that's a pretty neat thing. In my office, although I have created a lot of reverence for guides that are operating in darkness, they are not welcome in my office to speak. So one of the prayers or affirmations at the beginning of a session is to welcome someone's guides into this office, welcome my guides into the office space, but to literally say if there are any guides who are operating in darkness that are operating not in a 100% connection to full love and light, true love and light, then they need to stand outside the sacred space. They are more than welcome to stay, to hear, but they have no voice. They can communicate what they wish to communicate. Should they feel it would be important, they can communicate what their thoughts would be through one of the guides that is operating from love and light, or through one of the angels or one of the beings that has come into the office space that is of love and light, but they have no voice to be heard in any other way that would not go through filters of love and light. And that has been very interesting, because to add that affirmation into a session really allows me to see very quickly what clients, because I can feel things, what clients are actually working with energetics that are of darkness. And then we can start asking whether today is the day where that is to be shifted. But unlike Lynn Grabhorn's book, I'm not operating from a place of judgment. I'm allowing the recognition that the soul of this client knows what they're doing and has always known what they were doing, and has put in place exactly what they needed to put in place to be able to facilitate the quickest and speediest, I think, return to well-being or balance or light that could be achieved, and that darkness has been helpful in achieving that goal. So anyway, I wanted to put that out, because it's a little bit of a different way of seeing things. It's worked quite well in my office, and it is quite wonderful to see a changeover of guides happen for somebody who has been very depressed, for example, very negative, very much in the lies of I'm not enough, I'm never going to be enough, and then to make that changeover of guidance and to just see their whole face change, to have them literally look at you and say, I feel so different inside of myself. In other words, now you've got a guide that is so much harmonized to you, and you start to get a sense of, oh my God, these guides really do affect how I feel about myself. They really are a part of me. They can infuse energetics of emotions into me that are positive or negative. And I'm thinking about one client in particular, and she saw such a dramatic difference between what was being infused in her emotionally from the guides that were of darkness and what was now being infused from the guide that has changed over and taken the new position, that she was just like, it's like a celebration. She said, it's like a celebration is going on inside of me. She said, I can almost hear them talking, these three guides, and it's like they're celebrating. And I feel like I just want to go out and celebrate, and I feel happy, and I don't think I felt happy in years. Yeah. And yeah, yeah, it's a really, really neat thing when it happens.
Okay, we're going to go to our first break. If you have a question, if you want to know, you know, what's going on with you, if you're thinking maybe this might be part of the problem that you're having, you can give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. She can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
I'd rather dance with you than talk with you. So why? shaking here like this tune. You said, I doubt my reply would be interesting for you to hear, because I haven't read a single book all year, and the only film I saw, I didn't like it at all. A chance of misinterpretation. So let your hips do the talking. I'll make you laugh by acting like the guy who sings. You'll make me smile by really getting into the swing. 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 Getting into the swing.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We're talking with Tracy McBurney today. We've been sort of talking about, our divine team, I guess, but our guides. There's a couple things I wanted to mention to that. Tracy, actually, on one of my blogs, has done a blog on how to actually give you affirmations. They're a little bit different than Lynn's. Mm-hmm. They're kind of in more Tracy's words, and they've actually developed a little bit more. So I do recommend that if you feel that this may be a problem, you want to do that, to check out that blog. My new site is just about up, but I will list both ways to get in if you'd like on my Facebook. So check out my Facebook after this, and you can get the blog. The actual blog is called A Change in Healing.
Okay. I will say to you that repeating those affirmations, some of my clients have felt like they wanted to be quite present.
Right.
They wanted to repeat them quite slowly, and they repeated them more than once.
Yes.
And they felt with the repeating of them more than once that something significant started to just kind of uproot itself, especially with things like a changing of guides, if a changing of guides was required. I will say to you that consistently and constantly through those affirmations, there's this little catchphrase, as is safe and appropriate and highest and best interest.
Right.
So if this is not applicable to you or to the person that's reading this, no, nothing is being done. Nothing is
right.
being done. Nothing is being changed. You're not manipulating something that you can't undo. It's just nothing's being done. And even if it is done and you don't like what has been done, you can undo it. You are creator of your life. So I see these affirmations as kind of what I might call positive virus memes. Virus Memes got a little bit of good press and bad press. Really interesting book came out a couple of years ago on virus memes. Virus memes are anything that is repetitive that can get into your system, that can get into your psyche, that then you start to accept as kind of a truth. And so there can be positive ones and negative ones. And I really tried to design some of these to be very positive memes for people. Right. Anyway, so it really just love the idea that safe and appropriate and highest and best interest is the, I call it the cover your ass affirmation. That means you have no intention to do harm to yourself or another. You are totally honoring the law of one and recognizing that you don't want to insert yourself in your own life or in somebody else's life in an inappropriate way because you're being a little unconscious and a little of a perfectionist and feeling a little inadequate or whatever's going on.
Right.
Okay. So,
and that is in the blog. So that's not a problem. It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I wanted to mention was something that happened in our, one of our sessions was a choice that was made in dream time versus a conscious choice that was made by our soul, or I guess that's how you would word it.
Well, it was funny because you were reminding me of this. And in fact, for about three or four clients in a row,
yeah,
which should really be an indication that I should be looking at this for myself. Hello. I was getting that. I was getting that people had been corrupted by guidance coming in and from dream time and they'd accepted it and it was not of love and light. It was not necessarily in their best interest.
And with me, it wasn't so much that I accepted it. I didn't think I had a choice.
Okay. So, yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Right? So I think probably this whole show today is a show that's just that I just want to make about guidance, you know, where you go for it, how you can turn to guidance that you're even unconsciously aware of in dream time. We've talked in other shows about this lovely mystic whose name is Almeen, and she spoke at the Total Health Show last year, and she put on our radar last year the importance of taking greater control of your dream time, like recognizing that you are creator 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, every day. Sleep time, non-sleep time, when you're unconscious, when you're in denial, you are always creator of your life. And so it was a really, really interesting hour-long lecture to have her put that on our radar and really just get her telling us, you know, it's as simple as you going to bed at night and just affirming into this universe that you wish to be divinely protected during sleep time, however that's going to work for you. You know, guardian angels of light, protect me while I'm sleeping. It's kind of like that old prayer, right? Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray.
Yeah.
It's like we did things like that and, you know, there was good stuff in that. And then we stopped doing that. And one of the good stuff in that, part of the good stuff in that was really just being very consciously aware before we went to bed that we could actually be corrupted in dream time and we did not wish to be that. Right? We didn't wish to be guided by something that was so unconscious to us and so buried to us. So that was what had gone on for you and what had gone on for several other clients. And now I'm thinking I'm going home to figure out if that went on for me too. I'm going to go and ask that.
And for me, it was as simple as bringing back a guardian angel that I had forsaken for a long time.
Yeah. And what did that feel like? What did that sense like? Like to me, I always say what that feel like because I'm a feeling person.
Right.
But did you sense or feel anything as that was going on that day?
It's really interesting because I had connected with this being before. And so I knew she was there. I didn't realize that I wasn't using her in any way, or I didn't realize that I had forsaken her because I thought something else. Like I completely, you know, didn't want her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a coming home type feeling, like a welcome back and coming back into, you know, home.
Nice. So yeah. There was a feeling.
Yeah.
There was something that just affirmed to you. To me, seeing is believing, feeling is believing. We're working with the unseen world. Most of us can't see it. So it's our senses that can pick up stuff that gets us kind of scratching our head going, I just felt a change in pressure. My body just got hot. I just saw globes of stuff in my eyes that literally says something's happening. How crazy is this? Something's happening. When she said that, when I said this, so it, you know, there was something going on that I could feel or see or sense. So yeah, so that's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the other, you know, as we were talking before we started the show, the other piece that I really felt, I sometimes feel like a broken record, but I feel repetition is sometimes the best way to learn.
It is.
I really feel that I really, again, want to enforce this idea of our divine intelligence. Again, guidance. Where do we turn to for guidance? When we're consciously involved in the process, what do we want to turn to for guidance, right? Lynn Grabhorn brought that forward to me to get me more conscious about what I was turning to for guidance, what I was allowing myself to be driven by and motivated by. Was that darkness or was that light? I love her for putting that on my radar. So now I'm also talking about divine intelligence. How much do you allow your divine intelligence to be a part of your life on autopilot? Right? Not that my conscious mind has to be involved all the time in the process of bringing it in, but that it's already there. In other words, I'm just recognizing that that part of me is me, and I'm giving permission for that part of me to be accessed on autopilot at all times. When I need advice, at all times when I need guidance, at all times when I'm trying to design new strategy, when I'm trying to design new plans, all times when I'm having problems, all times when I'm in crisis, when I'm in conflict, right? So to me, it's like we have to have a certain level of consciousness to be able to accept that there is a divine intelligence within us that we can't see. Certain level of consciousness to accept that we have an aura that has layers to it that we can't see. That there's some sort of tapestry and some gold and silver threads threading through that tapestry of our aura that are our divine intelligence and we can't see it. We have to have a certain level of consciousness that says, I'm going to start to accept and believe in some things that I don't see, that are invisible energy to me. And I might allow some of my other senses that aren't my physical eyes to be able to start to affirm that these things do exist. And I might start then to be able to watch and observe what is going on. So there's a certain level of consciousness to get to that place. And so then, oh, we're going to break?
We are going to break.
We're going to break. Okay. So hold my thought.
Hold your thought. We're going to go to break. You can give us a call. If you have some questions around this, this would be a great time to give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. She can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com. And Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
New Sky Radio, newskyradio.com, and Psychic Radio, psychiconair.com, powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo, is unlike any talk radio station, with a mission to improve the world one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family, an open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
In times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. and the broken-hearted people living in the world agree. There will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney with us today. We're talking about guidance. Seems that this is the theme that we're talking about. And we were sort of talking about divine guidance or our divine intelligence.
Yeah, cleaning up the guidance, getting it clear, really having some conscious awareness of where you're pulling your guidance from and what you're allowing to guide you. So we're back at divine intelligence. And so as I was saying before the break, you have to have a certain level of consciousness to be able to even accept that you have an aura that you can't see.
Right.
Then you have to have a certain level of consciousness to accept that at the edge of that aura or the silver gold strands of tapestry within that aura are actually your divine intelligence, the highest, highest place of guidance for yourself within yourself. And then you have to have a certain level of consciousness to be able to accept that, yeah, I can have a conversation with that place. I can upload to that place. I can download from that place. I can connect with that place. And then you have to have a certain level of consciousness to say, okay, this has been fun. You know, I recognize that I have that. I'm seeing all sorts of evidence that it works. And now I'm sitting here going, you know what? I'd like this to be more of an autopilot relationship. I'd like my divine intelligence to be way more involved in what's going on so that my conscious mind doesn't have to be in so much control of the process. And that's kind of where I am with a bunch of clients right now, is they are ready and willing and desiring to come into that experiment, to literally see what does that look like, feel like, test like in my life. If I start giving permission to this divine intelligence part of me to rewire strategy, like how I create strategies so that it involves itself, that higher part of me, in all strategy creation. It's literally like saying to your higher, to this, not higher self, because divine is a part of higher self, but it's the highest part of higher self. So other parts of higher self can be corrupted. So I'm really speaking about divine intelligence, the highest part of you. And so it's literally looking to that place within yourself and the divine source of that light beyond you to say, this is the change that I want to make. This is the great experiment that I would like to be a part of now. And, okay, maybe I'd like to be pulled out of it if it doesn't work out well, but I'd like to see how this works, to literally surrender the creating of all strategies, all plans, all moments of crisis and conflict and problems, big or small, when they happen, when I pick them up, when I'm in them, when I walk in them, from this day forward until I say I want to change something, I want my divine intelligence on autopilot to insert itself into all of the strategies that are created, the plans that are created, the problem-solving solutions that are designed. I want my divine intelligence to be into all of that. And I want to do it on autopilot so that I don't have to be so conscious of the idea that I'm having a problem and that I'm having a little problem, but I'd like some help from my divine intelligence. So I'm just going to sit there and talk to my divine intelligence and ask that divine intelligence to come and be with me and enter into that problem. No, I want my divine intelligence to enter into that problem without my conscious awareness that I'm even having a problem. And so what that really is I think it's about consciously making a decision to move into another level of oneness, move into a greater level of arrangement of oneness within self, so that you are now really starting to recognize this divine intelligence part of me is me. I could call it the God within me if I wanted to, or I could just call it Tracy. Because it is me. It is my access way into source of all knowledge, which is beyond me. It's my access way into that, but it is me. So I'm not pretending that I know everything. I'm not coming from a place of arrogance. I'm not even coming from a place of saying I am God. More than I'm saying I have access through the recognition of this part of me to all that this God or this source of light knows, when it's time for me to know it, when I need to know it, when it would be beneficial for me to know it. I can't download everything that that source of light knows into this human frame body that is my body, into my nervous system that is my nervous system. It's all going to explode. But I can start to create a level of oneness with that part of me. So I stop this behavior that really has been the intermediate behavior of my conscious mind talking to another part of my mind like it's somehow separate from me, asking that other part of my mind to participate more fully in what's going on with this part of my mind. That in its own right is a level of insanity and a level of separation. So as I make that affirmation that I want more of that connection to oneness, and I'm asking the divine within me and the divine source beyond me to help to facilitate that, that is what's happening. And strategies become clearer, and plans become clearer, and problems are solved more quickly. And I'm starting to think, wouldn't it be interesting if we could just do an experiment? We could take like 200 of the people on Wall Street at some of the highest places and say, hey, guys, you want to do an experiment? You want to do an experiment where you would literally have a conversation with this divine intelligence part of you and give that part of you permission to insert itself on autopilot into all of your problems? Wouldn't it be interesting if we did that with all the Republicans and Democrats in the Congress and said, let's all do that for just for fun, for a week. Let's do this for a week as a giant experiment. Let's say out loud that this is our intention, that we want our divine intelligence, that highest intelligent part of us, to be able from this day forward until we say stop, which is a week from now because we're doing this grand experiment that shouldn't scare anybody. And just start to see, how does this change my problem-solving capability? How does this change my capacity to strategize, my capacity to plan, my capacity to design? Do I feel more sorted? Do I feel more secure? Do I feel calmer? Do I feel calmer when I'm faced with a problem than I did yesterday? And the answer is, I think the answer you're going to find is yes. yes, that's exactly what's going to start to happen. And I think more and more as these things get put on people's radar, I'd like to see people start to make these choices, especially people in these high positions, CEOs of companies, people in government, people that are, you know, there on Wall Street, people that can really make a big, huge difference or can make life pretty destructive. So that's my thought. That's the experiment that's going on in my office as we speak. And so far, the client reports back are pretty phenomenal. They like how they're thinking. They like the changes in their thinking.
Right. And would there be any reason not to want to do that? Like, would there be...
Well, it's you know, you're kind of giving up a level of control, right?
Yes.
There is a kind of surrender here.
Yes.
But you're really surrendering to yourself. You really are coming to a place of looking at your life and thinking, you know what? My way isn't necessarily always the best way. My way down here in the consciousness level that I am at right now isn't necessarily always the best way. And I'm going to take a leap of faith to think that there is a part of me that I'm not always connected with, that I have to consciously connect with, which I'll tell you requires discipline, right? I come from a very disciplined family, but I have to admit I am not nearly as disciplined as my brother is or my father is. They line up their suits in colors, right? In colors. And everything is pressed and beautiful and everything has its place. I am not the level of discipline that they have. And I started to realize that maybe there's a reason why I'm not. Because I can't operate that way. I've had to literally find simpler ways that require less discipline.
Right? We're going to go to break, so hold that thought. Interesting. All right, so you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney on today. I am always amazed with Tracy. I hope you are as well.
Or scared.
Well, no, that's everybody else. Tracy can be found on the web at TracyMcBurney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. We're listening to Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Thank you.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends, and we have Tracy McBurney here with us today. Tracy will be back with us in the new year. Let's make sure we know the date. It is January the 11th. Perfect. And so because I am who I am, and we haven't actually done this before, I thought, you know, this would be a good test. I like doing the tests when Tracy brings them up. And
we found out something rather interesting.
Yes, we
right?
did. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. At break, we found out something interesting, right? We found out that on autopilot, you do not turn to your divine intelligence to help to strategize, to help to plan. You don't turn to it in moments of crisis. You don't turn to that divine part of yourself in the mind, your own mind. You don't turn to that highest place within your own mind for problem solving, big and small. But we also found out something interesting in that you do turn on an autopilot to your guides of love and light. You turn to them. You instantaneously on autopilot turn to them. You turn to your guardian angel. But here's where the interesting piece is. You stay in lowered areas within your mind. So it makes it harder for their guidance to be accepted. So now you get into a war. Like you're hearing maybe some ways of operating, but it's like, no, I shouldn't do that. No, you know, that can't work. That, you know, and so there's minds down here that are kind of blowing off what is being brought forward intuitively as unreasonable. Illuminations are coming forward. No, can't do that. You know, subconscious mind is kicking up the, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. You've got minds that are in lower minds that are maybe kicking in with family traditions of not feeling good enough, connected with mom, and family traditions of feeling unworthy, connected to dad. I'm not saying that's you. Yeah. I'm just trying to give an example, right?
Right.
And so what I feel, which is kind of interesting because I learned something, is if we actually connect you by affirmation, by your will, to wanting your divine intelligence to get involved in each one of these aspects, then what I feel is that you don't have the same problem with your mind kicking back the guidance that's coming in from your guardian angel and from your guides. You don't have the same backtalk. That's what I think is going to happen. It's going to stop the chatter, a lot of the chatter and the backtalk, because that divine intelligence is going to come in, and that's going to be the mind that's going to start to renegotiate and heal and bring light to the parts of your mind that are not thinking clearly, that are a little insane still. So therefore making it easier for you to work as one with your guides.
Right.
Right? That's what I think.
Right.
Right? So it's not like... So it's not like you're not on autopilot turning to something light. It's that we just want to stop some of the crazy chatter.
Right.
Definitely. And all of the stuff that kicks back that great guidance and doesn't allow us to follow it. That's what I think. That's what I think this is going to do.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So are we going to do that?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So we also did ask if it was safe and appropriate to do this, because I guess this is really moving you into a different level of openness and clarity and enlightenment. And is this the right time? In other words, I don't know all the things that need to be considered. Is your nervous system ready for a greater amount of light to come in? Is your physical body ready for that? I know you've got a shoulder injury. Would this in any way impair that shoulder injury from getting well, because we're actually increasing light coming down in this way? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do harm. So I love that phrase. Is it safe? I mean, it seems like a good idea. Seems like a wonderful idea. Stop the insanity. Get them, you know. But having said that, it also increases light coming down into the physical frame. Right. And I'm a smart enough girl to know that sometimes you can take on too much light too fast. I know. I walked in a vortex once, and I blew out my whole entire being and puffed out my etheric field and did a lot of damage. Mm. And I remember at one point saying to the person that I was with, my brain sparking in my head, I think I've done a bad thing. So I'm very, very conscious of not bringing in more light than your physical body can handle at any one time. So for that reason, I say, is it safe, appropriate, and high? In other words, do we have all operating systems in the physical body at a go to be able to do this because we're bringing in more light. Okay. And the answer was yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So, big yes.
So we're going to do that. So now you're talking to yourself and you're talking to a divine source of light beyond you, because I'd like to get that part involved in this process too. But if your belief system isn't going to go that place, then just talk to your own divine self. I will say to you, or to anybody that's listening, it doesn't matter whether you believe what I'm saying. Belief is not required. Your free will needs to speak this or say this or articulate that from within yourself. Nothing happens without your free will permission. So it's not about believing. It's about giving permission for this to occur. Okay, so then basically that's what we're doing. We're just talking to your divine. And so divine within myself.
Divine within myself.
And that divine source of light beyond me.
And that divine source of light beyond me.
I look to you.
I look to you.
As part of me.
As part of me.
And beyond.
And beyond.
To work with me.
To work with me.
To facilitate this goal.
To facilitate this goal.
It is my desire.
It is my desire.
If it is safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest.
If it is safe and appropriate, then highest and best interest.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
That my divine intelligence.
That my divine intelligence.
Part of my mind.
Part of my mind.
Be involved on autopilot.
Be involved on autopilot.
With all strategies.
With all strategies.
That I am creating.
That I am creating.
That it be involved on autopilot.
That it be involved on autopilot.
With every plan.
With every plan.
That I am creating.
That I am creating.
Every design.
Every design.
That I am designing.
That I am designing.
That it be involved on autopilot.
That it be involved on autopilot.
In the resolution.
In the resolution.
Of all problems.
Of all problems.
Big or small.
Big or small.
Regardless of whether my conscious mind.
Regardless of whether my conscious mind.
Has even yet recognized.
Has even yet recognized.
I'm having a problem.
I'm having a problem.
I give permission.
I give permission.
To my divine self.
To my divine self.
To enter in.
To enter in.
To all crises.
To all crises.
All conflicts.
All conflicts.
Of any kind.
Of any kind.
All wars or battles.
All wars or battles.
Raging inside of me.
Raging inside of me.
Or beyond.
Or beyond.
To enter into these circumstances.
To enter into these circumstances.
All circumstances.
All circumstances.
And all creations.
And all creations.
That are my creations.
That are my creations.
On autopilot.
On autopilot.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
From this day forward, I recognize.
From this day forward, I recognize.
That mind.
That mind.
That divine mind.
That divine mind.
Is my mind.
Is my mind.
It belongs to me.
It belongs to me.
And I start behaving.
And I start behaving
more like it belongs to me.
More like it belongs to me.
So I will not be requiring.
So I will not be requiring.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
The same level of conscious connection.
The same level of conscious connection.
As I required yesterday.
As I required yesterday.
I am surrendering all of this to autopilot.
I am surrendering all of this to autopilot.
I'm doing this now.
I am doing this now.
I thank you for your help.
I thank you for your help.
Divine self.
Divine self.
And beyond.
And beyond. Okay, well, you can take this and you can do it as well. And if it's within your highest and best interest, it will happen. If it's not, nothing will probably happen. Although we tried to figure out if there was ways. Anyway. This is the wrap
to
the show.
I'm not going to be able to talk. When you're actually having brain surgeries going on.
Exactly.
Smart idea by us. Oh, we're just
and
having
this is
fun
Tracy.
Here.
Yes. Welcome to my world. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. She can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com. Check her out if you want to connect with her and have a session. Highly
although
recommend
I am
it.
Being told it's not a good website.
Well, that's okay. We're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Let them know you.